Time for some basketball insights. We turn to John Corrales, the Boston Sports Journal and the Locked On Celtics podcast. Hey there, John.
Hey, how's it going?
Very well, thanks. How's your Tuesday so far?
Oh, Tuesday's great, man.
Glad to hear that.
Make it even better.
Well, now that you're here, our day has taken a big upswing, no doubt about that. Celtics got, they got a few bruises, a few banged up folks. What's the latest? Let's start with Marcus Smart. Likely to see him after the All-Star break?
Yeah, I think the All-Star break, there's no reason. He's out tonight, so no reason to bring him back tomorrow for one game. So he'll probably be back, I would expect, at the beginning of the second portion of the schedule there.
And how is Jaylen Brown doing?
He seems to be doing fine, actually. You know, he hasn't even, he's out again tonight. He'll probably be out tomorrow, but he hasn't ruled out playing in the All-Star game, so which is, 5 days away? He is going to be fitted for a mask, and he'll be playing in a mask for the foreseeable future. And but he said, the swelling has gone down. He just needs to go down a little bit more. Doesn't need surgery, obviously. So he's just kind of taking it day to day. So out for at least the next couple of games. And who knows? Maybe he'll show up in Utah and get a few minutes in the All-Star game.
And it sounds like we won't see Jason Tatum tonight either.
Not tonight, and also probably not tomorrow, because they were talking about resting him one more day. So, I mean, why not? Why not just give him that extended All-Star break, keep his legs? He has a non-COVID illness, which he's been dealing with the past couple of days. Seems like something's been going around in that Celtics locker room. So get him some rest. Really, the Celtics just kind of, I think, coasting into this All-Star break with a lot of guys out.
Yeah, it seems like the break is coming at a pretty good time for them.
Yeah, they needed a little bit. The fact that the All-Star break now is at the 57 game mark, that seems a little crazy. Like they could have done it a little sooner. But whatever, it is what it is. But those three guys, like I said, are out and probably out for the next couple of games tonight and tomorrow. Robert Williams, Al Horford, questionable for tonight. So who knows if they're going to play? Like this is. One positive note here, though, is it's great for guys like Peyton Pritchard who have been vocal about wanting more time and more of a role. These other guys, look, it's the All-Star break for Milwaukee, too, and they have a game on Thursday. So their break is a little bit shorter. So they might be sitting there thinking, like, oh, okay, the Celtics are basically going to be missing their entire starting five. We can cruise. And some of these guys for the Celtics, like, hey, Malcolm Brogdon's going to play in this game. Derek White's the player of the week. Grant Williams is going to play. So they're not completely, without any good players. And Mike Muscala is here. So if the Bucks take the Celtics lightly or too lightly, then, hey, maybe these other guys who are, this is their chance to shine, they'll step up and make this a game.
You wrote about Peyton Pritchard, who was pretty vocal about wanting to go somewhere else just to get more opportunities, but now that that hasn't happened, he's ready to contribute to the Celtics down the stretch.
Yeah, I mean, I understand why he wants that other opportunity. There's no real path to playing time for the Celtics. He's getting a little bit of a chance now, but once everybody's back and healthy, he's going to get back to the DNPs, and he wants to play. And as Brad Stevens said, it's not that he's upset. It's that he loves to play, and he's not, and that's why he's upset. So that's understandable. He's 25. He was a four-year player in college, so not a lot of guys at 25 are still in their rookie deals. He's older than Jason Tatum, which seems hard to believe sometimes because of how long Tatum has been in the league. But he's older than Tatum, but still on his rookie deal. So he's by staying in college an extra 3 years, that's basically the length of one NBA contract. So his earning potential has been diminished in the NBA. So he wants to get out there and play because he loves it, but he also wants to get out there and play because he wants to earn a contract. NBA players have a very small window to go out there and earn a significant amount of money. When you get into your early 30s, that earning potential goes away. And that's it. And you can go coach and you can go make some decent money, in other avenues in basketball. But this is your chance to make the millions and set yourself for life and set your family up for life. So of course he wants to go find that opportunity.
We're talking with John Corrales here on Downtown. We didn't hear Mike Muscala's name much when people were talking about trade deadline deals, but certainly looked good in his first outing with the Celtics. How does he fit in and make this a better team down the stretch, John?
Yeah, I mean, we didn't hear it at all. not one report of Mike Muscala, but he's a guy with size that can shoot, and he's already out there shooting better than 50% overall for the Celtics. He's already out there shooting a bunch of threes. He's comfortable out there. It's a lot easier to integrate a guy who knows how to space the floor, who knows how to play off of dribble penetration and give his ball handlers a target and be in the right spot for them to see him so they can find him so he can shoot. So he definitely gives the Celtics a guy that can stretch the floor and create some lanes for for guys like Tatum and Brown when they do play to drive. And I think down the stretch, the Celtics can go and play a bunch of different ways. You can play big without the spacing, and you can play with just Rob at the center, and you can go Smart, Tatum, Brown, and either Derek White or somebody else like Grant Williams, and go four out with a guy in the dunker spot, or you can go with a bunch of shooting small, or you can go with a bunch of shooting now big with Mike Muscala, and say a team, I would have liked to have seen it in Milwaukee here, but you could tell the Bucks, okay, fine, you want to play big, you got all these big guys, go guard Al Horford in one corner and Mike Muscala in the other, and we'll just spread you out. Cleveland's a great example of that. When, you've got Evan Mobley and Jared Allen, who are really, elite rim protectors. Let's put Mike Muscala and Al Horford out there with those guys and force you guys to have to go defend the perimeter. And then this way, when you get perimeter drivers, you're either going to collapse that defense to an incredible degree and hit wide open three-pointers, or those driving lanes are going to be there. So Muscala really adds a nice dimension to the Celtics.
John, what team surprised you the most with their deadline deal moves?
Honestly, I think it's, well, first of all, Dallas for making the deal for Kyrie Irving. That was, getting Kyrie in there, I just expected disaster. But they were desperate. They boxed the Jalen Brunson situation. So, of course, they had to make a move to try and keep Luka happy. Everybody was surprised by Kevin Durant going to Phoenix. But honestly, I'm more surprised by the team that didn't make moves, like Miami. Miami not doing anything was really surprising, because that's a team that has had some high aspirations, and they didn't do anything to get themselves into that top four. They seem like a team that's just hoping that internal improvement and health can kind of get them back up to where they've been. I don't see it. So I'm mostly surprised that a team like Miami didn't do anything.
Well, particularly with the Nets hitting the reset button.
Well, the Nets, that's the price for getting into the Kyrie business. As far as I'm concerned,
yeah.
you get into bed with Kyrie Irving, that's going to be the risk. That out of nowhere, you're going to have to hit a reset button. And the Celtics were able to kind of navigate out of that fairly well. They immediately pivoted to Kemba Walker. And then they were able to at least stay relevant until Tatum and Brown were old enough and got enough experience to take over as the main weapons on the team. But you knew once they got Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant, and they forced the Brooklyn Nets to make some moves, like bringing in DeAndre Jordan on a super inflated contract. You just had a feeling like, okay, this is not going to go well. Kyrie was already talking about we don't have a head coach. He was already talking about like we're gonna run the team. In conjunction with the front office. Like, no, that's not how this is going to go, man. And now you hear him in Dallas talking about being glad to be out of Brooklyn. That's a place that he called home. So, yeah, I mean, is it a surprise that Brooklyn reset their team? In some respects, yes. But in some respects, no, because you could see it starting to crumble. And that's Kyrie Irving in a nutshell. As talented as he is, and in some ways he does some really good charity work and all that stuff that people love to bring up, but on the court, that stuff is, he just is, his reach into organizations is too great, and he has no clue what he's doing. He has no self-awareness. So him imploding a team, not a shock.
John Corrales, Boston Sports Journal and the Locked On Celtics podcast. John, thanks as always. Enjoy the game tonight and, the start of the All-Star break as well, and we'll check in with you next week.
All right. Talk to you then. See ya.
John Corrales talking Celtics.